This is a continuation, I believe, of studies that...
Start of one.
Oh, this is a start of a study. Okay. I know she's presented before to us.
Yeah.
And Meredith is currently finishing her undergraduate studies in public health at the University of North Carolina. Meredith?
Okay, I started a study this summer on the impact of pre-molded orthotic inserts, the brand we use in our office is PowerStep, and their effects on heel pain, and I tried to relate it to weight gain. We'll see how that actually goes, and that's the disclosure slide. Overweight and obesity rates in the United States have skyrocketed in the past decade. They've caused over 400,000 deaths annually and cost our country over $120 billion. Excessive weight gain not only affects lifestyle, but it can result in chronic diseases such as diabetes, CVD, hypertension, and many others. A lot of people who are obese suffer from chronic pain, gout, rheumatoid arthritis, and musculoskeletal pain and joint-related pain are all common. Overweight adolescents can suffer from Sever's disease, characterized by foot pain, which occurs in the heels of open growth plates. And the Foot and Ankle Center of North Carolina was where we conducted this study. We dispense over-the-counter inserts frequently to help relieve foot pain, particularly related to heel pain. And they're the first non-invasive step in trying to relieve heel pain and usually are pretty effective, and we've received pretty good patient reviews so far on them. I don't think I've heard anyone say they didn't like them. Though the inserts have been dispensed for several years, we don't really have much information on how they affect individual patient pain levels. So I decided to look into this and do a survey on the initial visit and post-dispense visit to see how much these inserts are helping individual patients relieve their pain levels. So my survey procedures, on the patient's initial visit, each patient presenting with heel pain who was decided to get OTC inserts was asked to fill out a simple survey. If they wished to comply, the first page of a two-page survey was given to them. It included all the survey information, my contact information, and they were instructed not to put their name or any identifying information anywhere on the page so that it will remain anonymous. So they just filled out the questions, and then that page was given to me and put in a file, and the second page of the survey was placed into their chart to use at the follow-up visit, and the chart marked with an asterisk so that we would know that they got a survey. For the follow-up visit, they would come back 2 weeks after being dispensed with their OTC inserts and given break-in instructions so that they wouldn't have any additional pain from breaking in the orthotics. And the patient was asked to fill out a second series of questions from the survey sheet that was placed in their chart. And the two pages were then put together and kept for analysis. And both pages were numbered in the upper corner with the same number so that the chart or the two pages could be identified as the same person, but there was no name or anything on it. And then a lot of patients didn't come back for their follow-up visit, so we could still use the initial information they gave us, even if we didn't get the second half. So our survey questions were, are you male or female? Which age group best describes you? And this was in 6-year increments. What is your height? What weight range describes you? This was a 50-pound weight range, which is really way too big. Which foot are you experiencing pain with? Are you right or left-handed? Have you recently suffered an injury that could be causing your pain? How long have you had pain? What level would you rate your pain? Have you recently gained weight? How much and over what time period? How often do you perform aerobic activity? Are you able to continue your workout routine with your current pain levels? Have you altered your workout routine to accommodate your foot pain? Have you been diagnosed with diabetes, Do you have any other chronic disorders, and have you previously been treated, and using what methods? And the follow-up exam was just 5 questions. The pain level, to see how the rates of pain had changed. How often do you wear your inserts? Do you feel that they have helped your foot pain? Would you like to try additional treatment methods? And have you been able to continue your workout routine with current treatment? So our preliminary findings, I have currently had 22 surveys filled out since July, and 11 survey takers have been male, 11 have been female. 7 reported recent weight gain. It was in the past year to 3 months of at least 10 pounds or more, and 15 denied weight gain. 13 perform aerobic activity at least once weekly, and 9 denied any aerobic activity. And there was only 1 report of recent diabetes diagnosis and 21 denied diabetes. This was the important part for me. I work with nutrition, so I wanted to see how many people were overweight and whether the overweight individuals in particular had relief of their foot pain using the orthotics. And everyone who took the survey had at least 1 to 2 a point change of foot pain relief. And using the low range BMI calculation, which from the 251 to 300 pound weight range would have been at 251 pounds, it indicates that 8 people are known overweight and 4 people are known obese. Because if they're overweight or obese at the lowest weight range possible for their height, that proves that they're either overweight or obese, at least overweight. And there were 10 people of a possibly healthy weight. At the middle weight range, there were only 3 people that were at a possible healthy weight, 12 people at a possible overweight, and 7 people at a possible obese. And at the high weight range of 300 pounds in this particular weight range, there were no healthy weight people, 5 overweight, and 17 obese. So I've talked to a statistician and a couple different labs that I work in, and we will be changing survey for the second year of data collection to indicate the actual weight of the person, because this method doesn't really give awesome numbers. And we still have a year of data collection left. So I plan to present next year at this meeting on my final findings, and I will have performed a little over a year of survey distribution by August 2009, which gives ample time to compile results before the 2009 meeting. My goal is to get 100 surveys by August 2009, which I feel is hopefully reachable. Contact me. I love emails. If you have any questions, I'm at the UNC Gillings School of Global Public Health, our awesome new name. I'm in the nutrition department. I'm also in the biology department and in the chemistry department. So I'm happy to discuss public health, nutrition, biology, chemistry, biochem, any of the above. And I'm doing research in nutrition and in breast cancer. So lots of things going on. Thanks to Dr. Philip Ward for his input in this project, and thanks to the Foot and Ankle Center for helping me implement it, and thanks to the Beck and Cox Labs in the Nutrition and Radiation Oncology departments at UNC for their advice. Questions? Yeah. Yeah, that's just what the follow-up was when I got to the office. You should ask him that question. I don't know that one. Yeah. Most people don't come, though. Unless...
For the follow-up.
Most people don't come to their heel pain follow-ups.
So the limiting factor in the whole process is the staff's
And it's difficult, especially in our office. We have one staff usually in the back and two doctors, and it's pretty stressful. So it's difficult, especially when I'm not there, to try and make sure that everyone gets surveys. And we have two doctors in our office, and he's the only one doing surveys. So it's hard to have half of the patient population eligible and the other half not. Yeah.
Is there any reason why you just limited to heel pain?
I found that the more research I did on obesity-related foot pain, it was more focused in heel pain, and there was forefoot pain, but it wasn't as prevalent as the heel pain, and it made more sense with the research that I did. I think that the people from the surveys I've looked at, the more overweight people gave a higher ranking on their initial pain levels than the healthy weight, possibly overweight, the lower categories. But they came back and there were people who gave an 8 as their initial pain level and come back with a 2. So there was a broader change in their pain level, but the lower BMI people had, maybe they would come in with a 5, and they would come back on their follow-up visit with a 4. So it wasn't as severe a change in their pain levels. So I think that maybe they have more of an impact on a more overweight, obese individual. 22 surveys is kind of hard to draw conclusions from, but that was kind of my thoughts going into it, too.
So you're saying that your hypothesis is that you would see a significant difference
in pain levels.
Experiences in pain.
Right. Yeah, it's not people have been really receptive. I go in and I give my little, I'm from UNC and I'm doing this project, and people are more than happy to fill it out as long as it takes 2 minutes to fill out the questions that we give, and it's not really an intrusion on anyone's privacy. I don't know that Mary Sue is number 25. There's no link, so it hasn't really been a problem. Yeah.
Is this population based generally computer users?
Probably majority, probably 70% of our patient base is computer.
Because that could be getting, your information, your surveys filled out.
Yeah. Well, it would be harder to do a computer-based thing unless you gave individual patients a link to a survey to fill out, and then they would have to put some identifying number, or they would know their number. It's a good idea, yeah. That's definitely something to consider, yeah.
You know, a lot of people, and a lot of us obviously are familiar with going online and doing surveys.
Right.
I was asking what the population base was, because it certainly would vary depending on the people.
Right, and I think the area we're in also, I mean, we're in the middle of Pinehurst, North Carolina. It's Gulf Central. So it's a pretty literate, population. So I'm sure that something like that would work. I hadn't thought about that before. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, which is way too big. I talked to a statistician, and that doesn't work.
Now, is there a way that you would be able to correct the current sample that you have?
No, the plan is I talked to actually probably 10 people about this, and the plan is to use the lowest weight range and just say, these 22 people, we know 8 of these are overweight and 4 of them are obese. And that would be the data we would use from that, just because those are the absolute knowns. And then we will change the survey and get new data on, and just have that be more specific. And then if we need the old data, we can come back and pull stuff from it. But that might not be necessary. It just depends on the numbers of surveys that we can get. Yeah.
Are you going to change the ranges, or are you going to actually do physically measure the height and weight?
The problem is self-reported weights are either really underestimated or really overestimated. So ideally, height, people usually know their height. I know I'm 5'3". I'm probably 5'2 and a half, but height I'm not really that worried about because it doesn't change BMI that much. Weight, it would be... Why lie about your height? But weight, it would be great if we could get a scale and actually take measurements. If not... that would have to be a part of this is data error, self-reported weight, because that's always a problem in any weight-related study. Yeah?
Speaking about scales, you were using, the 1 to 10 VAS.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How are you explaining that?
The survey is indicated, it says a 1 is I'm having no pain at all. And a 10 is I'm having the worst pain I've ever felt in my entire life. It's not. No, it's just kind of an in between. Yeah. Yeah. A better scale. Okay. Right. Okay. Yeah.
And I just think that would be okay. Because I will tell you that
it's very variable from person to person.
Oh, you have 10 out of 10, and then they'll come back 2 weeks later and say, I'm 4 out of 10. You say, what does 10 out of 10 really mean?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that'll be something that I'll change in the second revision of the survey too. I mean, we have a constant at UNC hospitals that I can pull and use that.
I know all those variable ones are happy.
Yeah.
Me laugh because I'll pull out my little scale.
The little smiley face with the frowny thing. Any other questions? Thanks, guys.
Now, we're actually scheduled to have another session at 2:30. We only have 2 presentations, and both of the presenters are here. So the general consensus is that we should just keep on going. I don't know that we're going to close out anybody that thought they were...
Yeah, I think we should just keep going.